Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome again to another broadcast, worldwide live broadcast of The Reifman Show on Appleseed Radio. Appleseed Radio is brought to you by the Appleseed Project, which is sponsored by the Revolutionary War Veterans Association. Welcome again this week, February 3rd, 2009. We've got a lot of stuff going on now that I'd like to get information to you about. Shoots coming up. We have the Apple, Massachusetts event, February 7th and 8th. Peru, California, February 21st and 22nd. Midland, Texas, February 21st and 22nd. Mayaca, Florida, February 21st and 22nd. El Paso Community College, El Paso, Texas, February 21st and 22nd. And listen, this is going to be the first event at this location. Great location. It's an indoor shooting range at the El Paso Community College Law Enforcement Branch. And there's 20 positions, 20 spots available for this shoot. So if you want to get on this shoot, get inside to some nice climate-controlled shooting. There's baffles between each shooting point. A nice, clean concrete floor. Just about everything you could want. They got a nice, coffee shop area there, and an indoor classroom. Very swanky. But as I said, there's only 20 positions. So if you want to make sure that you have a slot for this, you need to go to appleseedinfo.org, go to the shoots, and then click on register. And go ahead and get registered now, pre-register for the event. Make sure that you have a slot there, that your slot with your name on it when you get there. That's in El Paso, February 21st and 22nd. Yanceyville, North Carolina, February 28th and March 1st. And Ramseur, North Carolina, February 28th and March 1st. Both of these shoots are going to be great shoots. Ramseur, of course, is the Appleseed home range. That's where... That's our own little Appleseed Mecca, and it has a great range there. They've got a very, a really nice actual distance range, and they have pop-ups also. I don't know if you'll be able to shoot them while you're there, but they do have them, and it is an absolutely beautiful range to go to and shoot at. Santa Barbara, California, February 28th and March 1st, and then here in Davila, Texas, February 28th and March 1st. Now, the Ramseur, North Carolina, and the Davila, Texas, February 28th and March 1st shoots are both Appleseeds that are occurring after a boot camp. Let me get take this chance to point out, too, that if you would like to become an instructor with the Appleseed program, there's several ways you can do it. But the way that I would recommend, the best way, the most fun way, is to go to a rifleman's boot camp. This is 8 days of intense rifle marksmanship instruction. You'll learn everything that you had never learned before, or maybe that you've forgotten about, on how to shoot. You'll learn all the fundamentals of shooting that you need to become a rifleman. And then you'll also be taught how to instruct others in becoming riflemen. Not only that, I always forget to, and I leave out the best part of that, which is it is just a blast. I'm telling you, you'll meet people, that will be your lifelong friends. You'll meet people. You'll have a great time. And then finally, on the ninth day, on Sunday, after everything's over, you'll be standing there wishing it could keep going. It would keep going on and on, and that you didn't have to go back to the real world, that you could stay there in the company of riflemen and continue to shoot. I know that I did. Matter of fact, I stayed there. I was the lone person on the range with my campfire and my coffee pot on Sunday night at Ramsar, North Carolina, a couple of years ago, with just sitting there on my camp stool in front of my tent, just thinking about all the good times that had happened, all the great people that I'd met there. Their instructors were great. JB, son of Martha, and many other instructors that were there, and then the folks that I went through it with, VA Shooter, Dragonwood, Iowa Mark, and many more, who are all now, of course, master instructors and senior instructors, shoot bosses for the Alpha C program, and they are some of the best of the whole gang, the folks that I went through the Ramsar boot camp with. There's some great people, and they're doing great jobs out there. Everybody's pushing the program ahead for us. All right, continuing on, we have a Canton, Missouri shoot, March 7th and 8th. Corona, California, March 7th and 8th. Kingsport, Tennessee, March 7th and 8th. Peru, California, March 7th and 8th. That's two right there in California on the same weekend, Corona, California, and Peru, California on March 7th and 8th. Hinesville, Georgia, March 7th and 8th. Boulder City, Nevada, March 14th and 15th, and then Davila, Texas, March 14th and 15th, El Paso, Texas, March 14th and 15th, Fallon, Nevada, March 14th and 15th, Fresno, California, March 14th and 15th, and Knob Creek, West Point, Kentucky, March 14th and 15th. If you plan on going to any of these shoots, my suggestion to you is that you go ahead and go to appleseedinfo.org, go to the shoots, to the schedule page, and go ahead and go to the register, click on register, and get registered for the event. Because there's several reasons for this. One is to make sure all of these locations are not open-ended as far as the number of people we can take. A lot of them have limits on the amount of people that can go to it. So if you know for sure that you want to go, or even if you don't know for sure that you want to go ahead and register, pre-register for it at Eventbrite. If you decide that you don't, you can make it for some reason, all you got to do is send Riflewoman an email, send anyone at the Alpha C program an email, one of the staff members, and we'll switch it to another time. Or if you completely change your mind, we'll refund your money. But if you want to make sure that you're going to have a slot there, go ahead and get on there and register. The other thing it does is it lets us know how many people are going to be at that location. That lets us send the right amount of equipment for the shoot, get the right amount of instructors signed up so that we have a good instructor to student ratio, and that we're prepared for the number of people that are coming. Because we've had it go both ways before. You know, we've had events where, especially when we're just beginning, we've had events where a lot of people showed up and we weren't expecting it because they decided to come at the last minute. And then we've had events where maybe we thought that a lot of people were coming and we sent quite a few people out and equipment. And then who knows, due to weather or something like that, the folks didn't show up. But you don't have to worry about weather. There has yet to be any type of weather that has ever stopped an Appleseed event. There has been nothing. There's been snow, ice, hurricanes, tornadoes, biblical floods, Saharan desert heat. Nothing has stopped an Appleseed event. Not even 50-mile-an-hour hurricane tornado winds. We had an event, I believe, at either Nevada or Arizona a while back where the wind was so high it was ripping not targets, but target backers, so the wooden frames out of their stands and blowing them off into Foreverland. This did not stop the Appleseed engineers. The Appleseed engineers got together found some wire, rope, stakes, hammers. They hammered stakes into the ground. They rigged the target backers up with wire and rope, and they shot in the 40 and 50-knot wind. We don't recognize weather. We shoot through everything because that's what we do. That's what we do because that's what you may need to do someday is shoot in all different kinds of weather. There is nothing like an altitude event that will get you to find out very quickly what your equipment does, how it works when it's raining, how it works when the sand is blowing at 25 knots, how it works and how you work when you're shooting in 108-degree weather and the sweat is dripping down into your eyes, or how you can shoot with one finger cut out of your mitts so it fits into the trigger guard. Nothing will get you better prepared and get you to learn more about your equipment, more about your rifle or your rifle platform than an Appleseed event. It's 2 days of intense rifle marksmanship, but don't let the intense fool you. People will tell you that the Appleseed program, going to an event, is like drinking from a fire hose. It's a week's worth of rifle marksmanship crammed into 2 days, and it is. But we never leave anyone behind. We always make sure that everyone is up on what the technique and skills we're teaching are before we move on to the next technique or skill. So just because I say it's an intense rifle marksmanship course doesn't mean there's anything for anyone to worry about. It should be actually something for everyone to be gleeful about, because what it means is you're getting absolutely every penny that you paid for this. At the Appleseed program, the reason that we only charge what we do, the little amount that we do, is because we're not interested in the money. Yes, we have to have enough money to pay for our instructors to get to events and to feed them and stuff like that. But we're not trying to get rich on it. The Appleseed program is a nonprofit organization. All we're trying to do is to get enough money from you that we can get the targets there, the instructors, and teach an intense rifle marksmanship program. I don't think that there's any programs that come even close as far as the cost-wise as Appleseed. It's the least expensive and most informative course that you'll find. There are several things we want to speak about this evening. One of the things I would like to do before we go on is make sure that you know that the Appleseed Forum is located at appleseedinfo.org or rwva.org. You can go there and click on the forum link, and that will take you to the forum, and then you can peruse the forum and gather what information you can there. If you think it's something for you, go ahead and register, because when you register, that opens up another section of the forum for you to view, another section of the forum that has more information, more techniques, more skills available to you there, and become a member, at least a member of the forum. If you become a member of the forum and you like that, if you read the stuff that we're doing, then come to an Appleseed. You come to an Appleseed and you like what we're doing there, and I've yet to meet anyone, and I've done a lot of Appleseed events now, a lot of boot camps, a lot of Appleseed weekends. I've yet to meet anyone who has been dissatisfied with the event, with the program. So if you come and you like the program, you decide it's something for you, then become an instructor. Pass on the stuff that you learned. Become a mentor. Help move the program along. The only way you're going to know what an Appleseed event's really like, I can talk to you about it all day here. I can tell you everything that's going to happen. I can go minute by minute, but it's not going to catch what happens at an Appleseed event. And what happens is very moving. I would say 9 times out of 10, when you go to an Appleseed event. It's going to change your life in some way. If not completely, it's at least going to put a new spin on how you look at the world, on the things that really matter, the things that are really important to you today, the things that are really worth safeguarding, the things that are really worth defending. And I'll give you a clue that it's not your remote. It's not your car. It's not your TV. There's a lot of things much more important than that for you to be worrying about today. All right. As I promised, we're going to talk about the men of the Titanic. And what brought this on for me was I happened to be watching a show, a television show the other night, called Seconds from Disaster. And it detailed the events leading to the sinking of the Titanic. Now, as you all know, those familiar with the Appleseed program, the Titanic, the story of the Titanic, is a common analogy for the program, because the Titanic sank. The Titanic sank on its maiden voyage. The Titanic was a luxury liner, and the luxury liner was built in 3 years. It took 3 years to build the ship. The whole time it was being built, it was being lauded, and it was being described as unsinkable. As unsinkable, unbreakable. They were so sure that the ship wouldn't sink. They were so proud of their accomplishments with modern technology that they didn't even put enough lifeboats aboard the ship to hold all the passengers. Why should they? It wasn't going to sink anyway. It was unsinkable. This immense sense of hubris was paid for on the Titanic's maiden voyage. And now we all know the story. The Titanic struck an iceberg and sank within a few hours. The ship that was unsinkable sank within a few hours, taking with it over 1,500 of the passengers who hadn't been able to make it into lifeboats, or who there were no lifeboats provided for. How much like the Titanic is the United States today? How many people think that the United States is unsinkable? How many people think that their right, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is unsinkable, is untouchable? Let me tell you, that's going to turn out just like the hubris that brought the Titanic to the bottom of the ocean. Americans refuse to understand, who refuse to see the liberties guaranteed to them. They refuse to understand that the life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness clause is a reciprocal agreement. That the only way that that right is guaranteed to you is by you guaranteeing your all, including even your life, to defend those rights. This guarantee of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is not some kind of a blanket thing thrown out to cover everyone, and then you have nothing else you have to do about it. It's going to all be done for you. That's not the way it is. The way it is this. If you're not standing out there with your eyes open, ready to do anything and everything you have to do to defend your rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, then it's going to be taken away. If you're depending on someone else, on some other person, some nameless, faceless person in Washington, or your neighbor, or your parents, or your school teachers, or whoever, the sheriff of your county, your governor, your vice president, your president, if you're depending on any of these people to protect your life, your liberty, and the pursuit of your happiness, you better think again. Because the only person that knows or that the responsibility for that falls on is you. Each and every one of you. Each and every one of you are the we, the people, that's talked about in the document that the Founding Fathers left us. The sinking of the Titanic wasn't just a... it didn't happen because of one thing. There were a whole series of events that came together to make the Titanic sink. There was a warning that there was ice in the ship's path, even though the ship had sailed a far southern route to escape the ice. There was still ice in the ship's path, and this ice was due to a unbelievably warm winter, which had caused the ice, the shelf ice, to break off and begin drifting south. Now, if that would have been now, it would have been blamed on global warming. But unfortunately, at the time, the people were too ignorant or too smart to accept or to believe that. So they had to wait until we'd gotten smart enough that we could be hoodwinked into believing things like that, into believing in global warming and the hundreds of other icebergs that are thrown out in front of us as a smokescreen day in and day out. Well, this brought the ice drifting to the south into the ship's path. Another ship had seen this and warned the Titanic, but the message did not make it to the bridge because of a technical error in the message. It was not addressed to the bridge, so it didn't go to the bridge. It remained in the tray there, and the radio men went to sleep. Another thing that happened was that there are a detail of men who sit in a crow's nest high above the deck of the Titanic. In a crow's nest, which is one of the tall poles there, has like a basket in it where the men stand. And they actually watch out. They physically watch out for icebergs so that they can see anything that's in the ship's path and then send warning to the bridge about it. Unfortunately, the British officer of the ship who had the keys to the cabinet where the binoculars were, had locked the cabinet and then taken the keys with him and left the ship, and he had stayed in England. So, the men on the crow's nest had no binoculars to see the icebergs. That's another interesting analogy, too, because when we talk about the Appleseed Program, we talk about the Appleseed Program as being more about changing climate and changing the overall weather than we're changing local climates. In other words, those men on the Titanic that night, as they're sailing along, they saw the iceberg. But when they saw it, it was within a quarter of a mile. I believe it was about 500 to 600 meters from the ship. The ship, the Titanic, which was over 400 meters long, required over half of a mile to make any significant change in direction. Even a full mile, it would take the Titanic to stop. So when these men saw the iceberg, there was no room to make any change. There was no room to stop. Just like them, the Appleseed Program right now is not devoted to looking out for icebergs. The icebergs are all part of that smokescreen I was speaking about earlier. The the smokescreen that's designed to take your mind off what's really going on and to keep you looking at the small little tiny things and not drawing back and finding the bigger picture. Seeing the iceberg didn't help them at all, did it? Seeing the iceberg didn't help them. They hit the iceberg. It was too close for them to do anything about. What would have been a better help to them was if they would have had some type of an appleseed program that could change the actual weather. They could change the change it from a cool to a warm climate so that the icebergs were in fact actually melted before they got anywhere near the shipping lanes. That's what the appleseed program does. We cannot get involved in pointing out icebergs. This bill or that bill or who the president is or what some type of legislation is going to do. The appleseed program isn't about that. The appleseed program is about building a machine that is big enough to wake everyone up so that they can make decisions about what to do and they can take the responsibility for guaranteeing and safeguarding their own liberties. If the NRA, with their hundreds of thousands and even millions of members, and their hundreds of millions of dollars aren't not enough to change and fix something, then certainly the appleseed program, which is still a fledgling program, certainly can't take any time off to get involved in pointing out icebergs or worrying about this bill or that bill. Because the program as designed is not about pointing out icebergs or about fixing this bill or that bill. The program is fixing the people. Once you fix the people, you don't have to worry about this bill or that bill. Those bills will not even come into they will not even come into thinking because the people will not allow them to. All right, so they had no binoculars. They couldn't see the iceberg until it was right there on top of them. And it turns out that the ship had faulty rivets in the steel. Now, it was designed and lauded as unsinkable. It had watertight compartments, 15 watertight compartments spread through the hull, so that if any one of those compartments was punctured and filled up with water, this whole ship wouldn't sink. It would take over 5 compartments to fill at one time to sink the ship. Well, the iceberg happened to pull down the side of the Titanic and rip all the rivets out of the steel along 5 of the compartments, allowing all 5 to fill with water and cause the ship to sink. While the ship was sinking, the people were moving to the lifeboats, and the lifeboats, which there were only 20 of the lifeboats, the lifeboats were designed to hold 65 people. 65, they probably could even have held 70 people, depending on the smaller and lighter women and children. But because of the panic going on board, they were sending the boats away with sometimes only 25 people in them. Even the men of the Titanic were panicking. The men and the crew were panicking. The analogy at the appleseed program is that the Titanic is that our country is close to being in the same position now as the Titanic, and that you can do one of two things. If you're not already off in the life rafts, then you better start bailing. And if enough of us bail, we might prevent the water from flowing in enough to keep the ship from sinking. But it's going to take everybody bailing. It's going to take everybody working. A lot of the people on the Titanic refused to even acknowledge that there was a problem. They simply kept their heads buried in the sand and ignored and denied the fact that the ship was sinking. You know, you've heard the story of the band played on. The band was sitting there playing because they didn't know what else to do. Many of the people were just in absolute panic, running around screaming, "Oh, what shall we do? Woe is us!" How is that going to help you? How is that going to fix you? How is running around screaming in hysterics going to do anything at all to help you? The answer is it's not. You better get your head about you quickly, and you better figure out where the buckets are, and you better get some other people involved, and you better all start bailing at once if you want to save the country. And that's what we're doing, trying to put together a group of bailers. All right. The number to call in, if you'd like to call in tonight, is 347-308-8790. Please feel free to call in if you have any suggestions or comments. We're going to take a call right now and see who this is. Hello, you're on the air. Hello, are you listening? Area code 304. Okay, I guess they were just listening. All right. I want to talk to you about some tough questions that we get at the Apostasy Program. I've told you before that, you know, before I joined the program, I wasn't sure what. I wasn't sure. The program sounded too good. Sounded too great. The people all sounded too great. I guess I was more of a pessimist than an optimist at the time. I thought they sounded too good, so there had to be something wrong. And I still get questions from people who are new to the program. Once they join the program and they come in and ask me, okay, I'm a member now, so you can tell me what's the secret, what's the real secret, what are we really doing? It's hard for sometimes for people to believe that such a simple program could be the answer. And yet it is. Now, we still get other tough questions and on the forum at appleseedinfo.org. Some of the questions were answered in a post by Fun Failer. Fun Failer is on the staff at RWVA with the Appleseed Project. And he listed here some of the tough questions that the Appleseed program gets, and some answers for it. I'm just going to go down the line for you real quick. One of the questions that we get a lot is, why doesn't Appleseed teach other shooting preparedness skills like carbines, handguns, land navigation, survival skills, and first aid, stuff like that? And the answer is, Appleseed is an American heritage program with a very nice rifle marksmanship course. It's not a shooting school with some history. Appleseed's interest is in educating Americans about their heritage, from the founders' era to today, and honoring those that sacrificed so that we may enjoy the liberties and freedoms that we have today. And that's it. That's what it is. I tell people all the time that as a fantastic a job as we do with rifle marksmanship, the Appleseed program is not really a rifle marksmanship program. We do have an absolutely fantastic rifle marksmanship course, and we turn out some of the finest riflemen on the planet today. Nobody goes through an Appleseed course without dramatically improving their skills. Nobody. And yet, the real focus of the program is teaching American heritage, who you are now, why you are the person you are today, why the country is not the way it is today, but what the country was meant to be, who you are meant to be, why there is a direct line from you directly back to those folks on April 19, 1775, at Lexington Green, Concord, the North Bridge, and along Battle Road. There is a direct line from those people back to you. You're the same people, the same country, the same people. And you have to remember that, and you have to honor those memories. All right, here's another one, good one that we get. How do you expect to fend off a modern military with tanks, planes, and machine guns? The answer? Appleseed is not about fighting anyone or anything. To the extent that we're all concerned about preserving our nation, the liberties and freedoms secured by our founding fathers, and this can only be done by knowledge and appreciation for the sacrifice made by those that secured our freedoms. The founding generation had no peaceful resolutions available to them, and as they struggled to preserve their liberties, they were the subjects of the crown. Now, when they gained liberty from the crown, they vowed not to saddle their posterity with no alternative again, and they established a method to allow the citizens of the nation to have control of the government, long before there would be a need for any force on the part of the people. They can have a peaceful political resolution to their issues. And that's what we're about. Long before it ever comes to any kind of a shooting, we can fix it. And the reason we can fix it is because the founding fathers allowed for that. Whenever they created this country, whenever they created the documents that founded this country, they allowed for that because they had been through that. They had already been through 8 long, hard, bloody years of fighting. 8 long, hard, bloody years of fighting. And they vowed never to go through that again. And for their posterity, for us, for their children, their children's children, their children's children's children, and so on, would never have to go through that again. That they could fix it with a peaceful means before they ever had to fire at another member. And that's what we're about. We're about making sure that people understand that that is what the answer is. That the answer is not buying your guns and burying them and digging bunkers and talking about the end of the world and fighting it out with the government. There's no reason for that. On the day that that comes, we've lost. We've lost. But we can win long before that with the methods that the founders left for us. When I think about the documents that they created, the knowledge they had, the wisdom that they had, I'm always astounded. These men were brilliant. They were brilliant. And I keep looking for them today. I keep looking for those same men today. Would that we had men of that same vein today. It seems that by the time you've made it into the government, by the time you've made it to any position of authority, that you've become corrupted and misguided and just downright dirty and thinking of nothing but yourself and feathering your own nest. And I'm talking about everybody up there. I'm not talking about just the Democrats. They may be better at it than some of the others, but every politician up there seems to me to be simply interested in ensuring that their feathered nest doesn't get ruffled, doing whatever it takes to keep their job. And that is the weapon that we use against them. You may ask, how can there be a political resolution to Americans' concerns when the politicians don't listen to the American people? Well, the answer is politicians do listen to the people when the people speak clearly and in a language the politicians understand. Americans were traditionally very active in their government. Over the last few generations, they've stopped interacting with their representatives like they used to. If the people demand an action or inaction on a specific item, the politician listens. They have to, or they lose their cushy feather bed. That's the weapon you use against them. If you want one of your politicians to do what you ask them to do, that's the weapon you use. You can get enough other people to let them know the same thing. They will have to do what you ask, or you'll boot them out, and they'll be forced to actually live in the real world with the rest of us. Now, let's look at the facts. Most Americans, they don't even know who their representatives are, let alone how to call or write them. Most Americans don't know who even their state-level representative is. I'm not sure if most people even know who their mayor is, or a city councilman, or their county sheriff. Americans have lost sight of the fact that if they are 1 in 1,000 or even 1 in 10,000, that's much better odds than 1 in 300,000. The politicians listened during the illegal amnesty bill, and even during the bailout bill for a short period of time. It looks like they may even be listening again. It looks like enough people are getting their voices out that they may have to listen to them again this time. But that's the way it's supposed to be. It's not supposed to be just on some high priority or high visibility event like amnesty. It's supposed to be on every single thing in the government. The states now are starting to buck the federal government on a lot of things, like concealed carry and the illegal alien issues, national ID, the Cashel Doctrine, eminent domain, firearms confiscation during emergencies. So even if a lot of the national level representatives aren't getting it, a lot of these state level politicians are getting it. That's because very few Americans are having their voices heard. Americans are doing an overall poor job of having their voices heard. And on the federal level, they may send one letter or make one phone call, and then that's it. They stop. And on the state level, there's many states that have half to three-quarters of the state level representatives who run unopposed. Did you hear that? Unopposed. Meaning that nobody even considered trying to buck them or thinking that maybe they had a better idea. And the reason is apathy and laziness. Apathy and laziness. That's the most dangerous disease right now in America. Nothing else even comes close to it. Not AIDS, cancer, diabetes, not every single disease, not murder, nothing. There is nothing that comes close to the dangerousness of apathy and laziness. It's the most dangerous disease facing our nation right now. Apathy and laziness. The apathetic, lazy Americans, too lazy to make a phone call, too lazy to write a 60-second letter to their representatives saying, listen, I don't like this, or I want this. Too lazy to even know who their representatives are. It's in the phone book. Open up the phone book and look, and you'll find your representatives. Almost everyone has a computer now. Very easy. Type in senator, type in congressman, and click search, and it'll take you right there. Apathy and laziness. And that's going to kill us. That is going to destroy America. I don't remember the quotation. I'm sure everyone's heard it in its different forms, but when they talk about the doom or the downfall of America, how it's not with a bang, but with a whimper. And that's exactly the way that it appears to be happening. People are going to sit on their couches with their remotes fat and lazy and not caring about anything until the country is taken from them. Is Appleseed going to fix all of this? No. No, Appleseed isn't designed to fix this. Appleseed is designed to wake you up so you'll get off the couch and go out and you will fix it. That's what the program is designed for. All right. Let me let you remind you again that the phone number to call in is 347-308-8790. 347-308-8790. Feel free to call in if you have any comments. We have the chat line going right now. I can read the chat line as I'm here, but I can't talk into the microphone here and type. And you know, talk to the chat too. I can read it, but we'll take any callers. If you have something to that you would like to get on the air, please feel free to call in. All right, 740, area code 740, you're on the air.
Hey, how are you doing this evening?
Good, good. Who's this?
This is Doug. I'm calling from Newark, Ohio.
Well, hey, Doug.
Hey, I've attended two of your programs, one in Athens and one in Moorhead, Kentucky. Both were excellent in what you guys are trying to do.
Now, how did you? Let me ask you this before you go on. I'll let you get back on track. But let me ask you this: how did you hear about the Appleseed program?
Actually, through Shotgun News. I typically, you know, buy it off the newsstand whenever it comes out, and you know, it was in there, and I read Fred's article, and I thought, you know what, there is so much that makes sense, and I, for one, want to be prepared. I want other people to be prepared, but in being prepared, you have to understand where you've been in order to know where you're going.
That's it, exactly. And that's what we try and teach people, that you didn't just arrive here out of nowhere. You didn't just wake up one morning and you had your house and your car and your big screen TV or whatever you have without somebody paying that price for you before you. And there were a lot of men and women that sacrificed all so that you could be here doing that. I'm telling you, when those folks back in on April 19th, 1775, when they stood in ranks that day, it was more than just a little thing. It was more than just a 60-second letter to the congressman. It was more than just a two-minute call to their senator. When they stood in ranks that day, they were guaranteeing that they were all immediate felons punishable by death. That's exactly what they did, and yet they did it anyway. They did it to safeguard their freedoms. Now, how much do we have to do today to safeguard ours? How much? Nothing. All we have to do is make a phone call. All we have to do is write a letter. All we have to do is come to an Appleseed event and understand that there were thousands and thousands and thousands of men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice, who died, whose wives and children died, so that we could be where we are today. And we owe it to these people. We owe them a huge debt that I don't know how we could ever repay. We owe a huge debt, and the very least thing that we can do is to remember them. To remember is to honor. The only way we can honor these people is to remember them. Now, I don't know about you, but when I went to the Appleseed event for the first time, and I heard about it through Shotgun News also, I was going to ask you how long it took you to get around to reading the fine print. And if you thought he was just crazy at first, whenever you...
Oh, no. No. It took me about 3 seconds to get around to the fine print. And, I mean, I couldn't get online fast enough to get registered for this thing.
Because it struck a note in you, and you knew that was what was missing in your life and in America is that reconnection, that the fact that everybody has forgotten how we got here. Everybody has forgotten who we are. Nobody even can tell you about American history. I tell you what, I can ask people all day long, and I do, about American history, about what a certain day is and what does it mean to them. And I'll get blank looks back. They've forgotten who they are. Americans used to have a code that they lived by. They used to have values and morals and ethics. They used to have a creed that they lived by, and they've forgotten it. The Appleseed Program is here to help them remember, that code, that creed that they live by, to help them become riflemen, to help them become patriots again and become involved in safeguarding their own liberties that are slipping away every minute that they are not watching.
Well, you know, here's the thing, is the fact that people, preachers of that day, were willing to stand in the pulpit and remind their congregation of these things. And they were not afraid to speak their mind and their heart regarding God's word on these issues, but, you know, just how the average person felt. So, you know, from the community standpoint, people were informed and they were brought together by ministers and other organizations, okay? In today's world, we have taken God clear out of the picture. So, you know, there is no moral base. You can't create a moral base out of nothing. There has to be something there in order to have this all happen. So what's happening in today's society, because I ask the same questions all the time about American history. I get the same looks. And I think that what we're seeing today is the age-old, it can never happen here. That would never happen here. Well,
yeah.
You know what? When they are building the Trojan horse around you, okay, and you're failing to see the boards go up and the nails go in, then it's denial.
Well, certainly. I mean, everybody has that denial built into them. You know, I remember thinking that I was invincible when I was young, and I can remember like my mom and dad telling me, "Be careful when you're driving." And I said, "Hey, I'm always careful. Nothing's going to happen. I've never had an accident," and I hadn't up to that point, but I hadn't died either. But yet,
exactly,
I'm guaranteed I'm going to die. But I hadn't died yet. I haven't had an accident yet. That hasn't happened in America yet. And yet that is no guarantee that it's never going to happen. The only way that it's not going to happen is by understanding what I said at the beginning of the program, is that the guarantee of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that clause, for people to understand that that's a reciprocal agreement between you and your country. That unless you understand that agreement says that your guarantee, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness is only a guarantee if you pledge, if you make your most sacred vow, the most sacred pledge to defend those rights with everything you have. Now, also, as I said earlier, we don't have to worry now about getting out in ranks and standing there and fighting the government with rifles. We don't have to worry about that now because the Founding Fathers went through that. As I said, they went through eight long bloody years. And in those days, those men and women who stood up in ranks, who came out on April 19, 1775, who marched up to 25 miles in just a few hours so that there could be 11,000 men under arms within only a few hours in order to defend their country, those people didn't have life flight. They didn't have homeowners insurance. They didn't have medevacs. They didn't have hospitals. They didn't even have aspirins. That meant that whenever they got shot, they got to experience every wonderful moment of it. including getting your arms and legs cut off without anesthetics, including dying long, lingering deaths, including having their houses burned to the ground because it was found out that they were involved in it, including being hung by the neck until dead because they had stood in ranks. That was a decision they made back then. And that is the reason that the Founding Fathers designed this country the way they did, so that we would not have to go through that again. That's why it's there. And I, as I said, I'm always astounded by the brilliance, the absolute brilliance of those men in writing that document. They've made it so that we would never have to do that again. We wouldn't have to do that again.
Well, you know, I would say that under normal circumstances, we wouldn't. But, you know, my view from the balcony is much different than yours. I think that, again, we will have to take eventually the same position that they did.
Well, here's the thing. You're right. Eventually we will, if we don't wake up and get the people out there. I'm telling you, there's no way that we would ever have to do that again. You wake up enough Americans. You wake up 80. Actually, you'd only have to wake up actually 1 or 2 million Americans. You get 1 or 2 million Americans activated, which the Alpha Seed program is going to do in just a few short years. You get them activated, and you get them working on it, and they can change the whole face of the country. They can force their senators and congressmen to do the things that they want them to do. We won't have to worry about this legislation or that legislation because it'll never come into being, because the people of the we, the people, who are the government, will have already told them, this is something we don't want. This is something we won't allow. If you insist on it, then we're going to get rid of you. If you try and force it through anyway, we'll get rid of you and your whole gang, and then we'll put somebody else in, and then we'll also tar and feather you on the way out. That is what they left us. So it can be done. Now, whether you want to believe that it's going to be or not is up to you, but it can be done. And it only takes, actually, a few people to get it done. Look at what groups with the little tiny amounts of members have, PETA, any of those organizations, they have little tiny amounts of people. But those small amounts of people are so active that they get stuff done. Well, if the folks on the good side do the same thing, that's the exact same thing will happen for us. We will get things done. That's the whole goal of the Appleseed program, is to get things done. Let me ask you about the shooting.
Yes.
When you showed up at the Appleseed event there, let's see, which one were you, said the Athol?
I went to Athens, Ohio. That
oh, Athens, Ohio.
One. Yes.
Okay. And what were you expecting when you got there?
Well, you know what? I was, you know, obviously expecting, you know, information on, you know, shooting and you know, just a basic course of safety and that. What I took away from it, though, was so much more. The history that is brought to life through, you know, the various guys that show up there to lead is absolutely a eye-opening experience. The last shoot that I attended, which was in Moorhead, they passed out a copy of what appears to be the front page or a page out of a news printing from that time that, you know, details all of the things that happened that day, who died, who didn't die, you know, what British died, who was wounded, the whole thing. And, you know, it brings a reality to this thing that it's more than just words in a history book. These people had a line in the sand, and they made a commitment. And they asked themselves, what are we willing to die for? We must ask ourselves the same thing. What are we willing to die for? I mean,
you can ask yourself that, and you can be prepared for that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't be. I'm just saying that you have to remember that that the goal of the Apathy program is not to die for anybody.
No.
Our goal is to change the government from within, with the methods that the founding fathers left for us. Now, did you think that when you got to the event and you got to the 25 meter range, what did you think? You think it was going to be easy, or did you think it was going to be hard? What did you think about that?
Well, you know, I arrived with a certain arrogance. You know, having having shot a rifle and shotgun since I was 7 years old, I'm 52 now, you know, I considered myself to be a fairly decent marksman with a rifle. With a pistol, forget about it. But, you know, I honestly believed that I was going to slide through this thing with no issues. And, boy, within the first half an hour, I was absolutely wrong.
Yeah, when you get there and you look at that and you say, oh, my gosh, look at that, 25 meters, that's only 82 feet. I'm going to be blasting these things. Boy, everybody's going to be looking at me, asking me for help. And then you look a little closer and you say, man, those targets look small. Those look really tiny, and they are. And it's a lot more difficult than you thought it was going to be. But yet the technique is absolutely proven to work. If you shoot 4 minutes of angle at 25 meters, you're going to shoot 4 minutes of angle out to 1,000 meters. That's the way it works. If you shoot under 4 minutes of angle at 25 meters, you're going to shoot under 25 minutes of angle at 1,000 meters, 500, 400, 300. If you shoot over 4 minutes of angle, that's how it's going to be all the way out. That's just the way that it works. That's
exactly
the way that the math and geometry works. Now, listen, I've got some requests from the folks on chat line, on the chat board. And I want to remind folks, too, that are listening. If you're listening, be sure and register with the Blog Talk so that you can participate in the online chat and so that you can rate the show. If you rate the show after you listen to it, that helps us with our ratings. When we get as we get good ratings, as we get better ratings, then we get more help in promoting the show. And as we get more help in promoting the show, we get to reach more people. As we reach more people, it's just the laws of probability. As you reach more people, then you get a chance to get more people who are going to help. And more people are going to they're going to help carry the load. More hands make the load lighter. So be sure and just take a couple of seconds. It's very simple to register for at Blog Talk Radio. Register and then you participate in the online chat and you can rate the show after you listen to it. Now, all the shows that we have are all kept archived at Blog Talk Radio. So you can listen to this show, or if you want, you can go back and look through the archives and listen to other shows that you have, that we've had, that we already have recorded. And we're going to start using the radio program also as a teaching vehicle, which means that what we'll do is we'll have some of the master instructors do some classes on the program here, at not only on the Tuesday night times, but at other times. And that way you can go back to them in the archive section, and you can take a course on, say, clearing the line, or a course on safeting the rifles, or a course on how to explain, how to teach inches, minutes, and clicks. So that's coming up. That's one of the things we have planned for the radio program. But getting back to the chat board, I've had a couple of requests to make sure that I don't let you get off the line without getting you to commit to help getting words out about the shoots in Ohio. And Dinky Dow, one of our instructors, said for you to contact her. Have you met Dinky Dow?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
She's a great gal. Absolutely.
Okay. Do you know her?
From the Athens shoot, yes.
Okay. All right. Then she would like for you to please get in touch with her so she can put you to work.
That's fine.
All right. Well, then she's waiting for you. She just typed in some smiley faces saying, please make sure that he gets in touch with me. She says she was at the Aston shoot, and she's now trying to figure out who you are because you sound very familiar. So,
tell her I was shooting one of the SKSs.
Okay. Well, she's listening to the show, I'm sure. So, So she can tell you're shooting one of the SKSs. Your name's Doug. You're 52. And
extremely handsome individual.
Very handsome, as are all apple cedars. As are all apple cedars. Apple cedars are the most handsome, intelligent, beautiful, romantic, trustworthy, courageous people you'll ever meet.
Well educated.
Yeah, well educated. Every superlative will fit because they will all fit to apple cedars. Once you go to an apple seed, you'll realize that's where you should have been many years ago. Because if you would have gone many years ago to an apple seed, you could have met your best friend back then. And then all your friends would have been apple cedars, the most courageous, beautiful, handsome, intelligent, well-educated folks on the face of the earth. Not the scroungy, no-good, lazy, apathetic best friends you currently have. So go to an apple seed now. Get you some new Appleseed friends, and then give the boot to all the rest of those sorry friends who are always borrowing your tools and money and never paying you back. Get you some Appleseed friends.
Well, you know, one thing I would certainly like to add on this is the fact that come with an open mind. You know, check what you consider to be your knowledge at the door. And listen to what these folks have to say, because even my son, who had recently got out of the Marine Corps, he had a difficult time with this thing. In fact, it really kind of blew his mind how hard it was. And not only that, but again, with the history. And I talk this thing up as much as possible to anybody that will listen, because you can take just a novice person that has maybe never even fired a weapon and bring them to be a rifleman and understand why we have the freedoms that we do and why the Second Amendment means what it means.
Well, I'll tell you, you hit on a very good point, because, and it's a point that a lot of times I fail to make it clear what you said was exactly right. The number one thing you can bring to an Appleseed event is an open mind, is a teachable attitude, is coming there and saying, listen, I'm here to learn. I'm here to get every penny out of this that I put in, and I want to learn. If you come here with the idea of, listen, I've been shooting a long time, so I've got my technique down, so you know, what you say is okay, but I'm going to keep shooting the way I want, then I have to ask those people, why did they come in the first place? They could have done that for free somewhere else. And I always keep forgetting to mention that it's just downright fun. I mean, you will have a blast.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't care if it's pouring down rain. I don't care if it's 105 degrees in the shade. You're going to have a blast. You're going to leave there on that Sunday, completely worn out, heading for your vehicle to get some ibuprofen and some water, but you're going to have a big smile on your face as you're shaking hands with all of the people around you who you could just hand your wallet to and your car keys and without a worry in you about them, because everybody who came, it's just like you. They're good, honest, hardworking Americans just like you, patriots. Just like you, and you're going to have a great time there. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to learn how to become the master of your rifle. You're going to learn about American heritage. I have people all the time at the end of the event, actually the majority of people who come, and I don't care how much better their shooting got, what they'll tell me is, listen, I loved the story. I loved the history because that's what we're about. And when we make that connection, we make them reconnect to the Founding Fathers. We make them understand that they are those same people. They're the very same people. They're not somebody those people in the history books are not some faraway fictional figures. Those were real people, just like them, just like their brothers, just like their fathers and sons and mothers and daughters. They're the same people, the same blood flowing in their veins, the same patriots, and they can be the same patriots. And when they realize that, when they understand that, you can see that light click on, and you can see the glow on their face from that. And I've yet to have anybody leave an Appleseed that didn't have a good time.
Well, I think another thing that they have to be reminded of is don't be intimidated by the fact that you may only have a $100 bolt action Marlin 22. It doesn't matter. You know, the thing of it is to get out there and start learning. And then, you know what, upgrade down the road if it's possible. If it's not, at least you have the basics of what is being taught. That's the important thing. It's not the gun that you show up with. It's the person you are that shows up with the gun.
Well, I think you're right. I think that, like I said, you bring any rifle you want, you bring a teachable attitude, and you'll be good to go. However, let me add this little caveat in there. It's that the program is designed around the AQT, which is the Army Qualification Test for shooting.
Correct. But,
and the program works best, the teaching program works best, with a semi-automatic magazine-fed rifle.
Yeah.
Now, it doesn't have to be. It can be anything. I shoot the AQT quite often with a bolt-action tube-fed rifle, and I can still make it, but just barely. And I've done hundreds and hundreds of AQTs, but I can still make it. But if you have a choice, if you have a decision that I can help you make, let me advise you to, if you don't have a rifle yet, advise you to get a Ruger 10/22, and then four of the factory Ruger 10/22 magazines, or 10-round magazines. And the reason I say this is because that is a fairly inexpensive rifle. The magazines are fairly inexpensive. The ammunition is fairly inexpensive. You can shoot through the whole weekend at an Appleseed, and we shoot a lot. We shoot around 500 rounds on an Appleseed weekend. You can shoot through the whole weekend for about $20. You go to Walmart and get you one of those 550-round bulk packs, and it'll last you through the weekend. That's because ammunition, centerfire ammunition, has become so expensive now. So if you don't have a rifle, or if you want to add another rifle to your collection, then let me suggest the Ruger 10/22. Now, we do most of our training at 25 meters, and we do that because it ensures that we can get rapid feedback. We can get down to the 25-meter line. We can walk down there and walk back in just a couple of minutes, check the targets, be back. And as I said earlier, if you shoot 4 minutes of angle or under at 25 meters, you will shoot 4 minutes of angle or under at 75, at 100 meters, at 200, at 300, at 400, at 500 meters. You will still shoot 4 minutes of angle. If you can shoot 4 minutes of angle with a rimfire, there's a very good chance that that instruction will translate very easily into 4 minutes of angle of center fire. So you'll be saving money. You won't be having to, you won't develop flinch or buck usually because of the recoil. You'll be getting all the same techniques, and you'll be doing it a lot less expensively. Now, should that be the only rifle you have? No. If it's the only one you can afford, then that's it. It's the only one you can afford. You can use it to get you another rifle later on. We want you to be able to learn the technique before you have to worry about anything else. Now, on Sunday, we'll shoot another usually half day at 25 meters. And then those folks that have shot, say, below 8 minutes of arc or so, we'll gather them up and we'll take them over to the actual distance range, and we'll shoot out to 400 meters using the same AQT, the Army Qualification Test, that we did at 25 meters. The Army Qualification Test is 10 rounds in four different positions. In the first stage, you'll shoot 10 rounds in 60 seconds from the standing position. In the second stage, you'll shoot 10 rounds, but you'll start standing You'll move into the sitting position. You'll fire five rounds at one target, and then you'll fire five rounds at the other target. And this will also include a magazine change, and you have 50 seconds to do it. In the third stage, you'll start standing. You'll go into the prone position, and you'll fire at three different targets, three rounds, and four rounds, and you'll have 60 seconds to do it. In the fourth stage, you'll start in the prone position. You'll fire 10 rounds at four targets, and you'll have 5 minutes to do it because those targets are very, very tiny. They're about the size of a postage stamp. And then you take that postage stamp and you move it 82 feet downrange, and then you have to put all 10 rounds in four different postage stamps in the right order. So it's a lot more difficult than it sounds. And
oh, absolutely.
The point is that it's getting you to learn to shoot in different positions. It's getting you to learn to manipulate your rifles, the actual physical manipulations you have to make on your rifles. It gets you to learn how to change magazines or reload during a course of fire because there is no rifle that will continue firing into infinity without having to reload it. So at some point you're going to have to reload the rifle to continue with your course of fire, and we teach you to do that. So all the firing that we do on the first day of Monday is done at 25 meters. You can fire any rifle you want. You can bring, we have people with lever actions. We have people with bolt actions, with tube magazines. We have people with single shot 22s. We have kids with little crickets, or we have, I have a fellow that comes semi-often that has a Martini Henry 22 single shot rifle. And he usually makes it in time. I told him to get a piece of the double-sided tape, and he has it on the receiver of his rifle, and he has the 22 rounds stuck to it so that he can rapidly fire a round, open the block, and then shove the next one in by pulling it off the sticky tape and sticking it in, and he can finish that way. So we have any and all types of rifles, and you can bring any and all types of rifles, and we will teach you to shoot that rifle. I always tell people at Appleseed, you hear about all these practical rifle courses, and as far as I'm concerned, Appleseed is about the most practical rifle course you could ever imagine taking. We teach you to shoot with the rifle you happen to have in your hand then and there. All the stuff we teach you translates to every rifle you'll find. But let me say again that the courses, the techniques and the skills that we're teaching you, it works easier for you to learn them by being able to fire a semi-automatic. Until you learn the techniques, if you're using a bolt action or a lever action or single shot, something like that, you have to break your position every time. Now, there's nothing wrong with that after you learn how to compensate for that. But while you're learning the techniques, it's a lot easier to do it by using a magazine-fed semi-automatic rifle. But you can bring anything you want.
Well, listen, I am going to jump off of here and get a hold of Dinky. And thank you so much for taking my call. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Well, thank you also. Now, I hope that I've fired you up enough. I could tell you were already fired up when you called, but I hope I've fired you up enough, like you said, that you're going to get on the phone and call Dinky and get set up for Ohio. And let me remind everybody, too, did you already have the location you're going to shoot at set for April 19th weekend?
You know what, I just found it tonight, so I've sent out emails to other people that I want to attend, and that's in the works. So.
Okay, well, make sure you get on that, because let me remind everybody again, on April 19th, the weekend of April 18th, 19th, we're having a nationwide Appleseed event in remembrance of Patriots Day, April 19th, 1775, and we're going to have over 50 different Appleseed events going on across the nation, coast to coast, border to border, over 50 events. We're all going to be celebrating April 19th, 1775, the sacrifices made by those men and women then we're going to be remembering them. We're going to be reading their names. We're going to be firing volleys in their honor. There's a lot of stuff that's going on. So pick out a place that you want to go now. Get your registration in for it. Make sure that you've got a spot on the firing line for April 19th for this year. Well, thanks a lot, Doug, for calling in. I'm sure that Dinky will put you to work in no time.
That's great.
God bless you.
Well, thank you very much, sir, and God bless you.
All right.
Bye-bye now.
All right. Well, little does Doug know what he's in for, because we ask a lot of our members. We do. We ask a lot of them. And the reason is because there's a lot at stake. There's a lot at stake. This isn't just a social club. This isn't just a rifle marksmanship group. We have a mission. We have a mission, and it's a deadly serious mission. It's saving the nation. It is turning around the events that are going on here, fixing the problems that are almost guaranteeing to drag this country beneath the waves, to sink this country just as surely as the iceberg sank the Titanic, with just the same amount of loss. And the way to do it, the way that we're going to have to do it, the enemy that we face now is apathy and laziness. That's what we're faced with now. But our mission is just as serious as those that the men faced on April 19th, 1775, the men and women of that time. There's just as much to lose. We have a country that is in peril of being destroyed. Our country is it's in peril. I don't want to say I walk a fine line, because I don't want it to be sounding like a doomsayer or preaching doom. But I do want to give out the warning, is that the country is in peril, and unless we do something about it right now, unless we work as hard as we can right now, who knows if we can even get there in time. One of the things about the program that we ask of you, though, is that you fight, that you work as hard as you can, and that you fight towards that end with the goal in mind of winning, and with the determination and being committed, so that even if you thought that there was no way that we could fix it, even if you thought there was no way to win, that you would stay in the fight until the very end. Because I'll tell you this, no battle has ever turned into the favor, no tide of battle has ever been turned at the last minute and had a victory whenever the people fighting gave up. You can't win at the last minute if you give up. You have to fight until the very end, and that's what we ask of our people. And as I said before, we're not asking them to stand in ranks. We're not asking them to face death and destruction and wounds and disease and hanging and being called felons. All we're asking you to do is to get up off the couch and help others get up off the couch, and then help spread the message about who we are, who we were, and who we can be once again. All right, we've got another caller on the line, area code 508. Welcome to the show. Who is this?
Good evening. This is Ross up in Massachusetts.
Ross?
Yep.
Hey, do I know you, Ross?
Probably. I'm Dwarven One on the forum.
Okay,
and...
yeah. I met you at the July shoot in Vermont. I think you came on Sunday, didn't you?
I don't remember. I don't think I made the July shoot. I know I was at Harvard. I was at the shoot in October in...
well, maybe it was just your legend that was there.
That could well be.
Maybe it was just your legend that showed up, Dwarven. Well, thanks for calling the show. You've been with the program quite a while. You've been a great worker, a great guy, and you're doing a great job now. You and the rest of the Northeastern guys, Nicole and K-Dan, all the rest. Let me ask you what I ask everybody who comes on the show. How did you first hear about the FC program? What got you involved?
I think that I heard about it from the NortheastShooters.com forum. And my thought was initially, oh, maybe I can learn how to shoot that Garand of mine a little better. And I went down to Hartford, Connecticut almost 2 years ago. It was April of 07. And we had Fred and the guy as instructors, and they tapped Chris. His screen name is Crack, and Nickel, in fact, to help on the line. Roger Nickel had come down to shoot. They wound up tapping him for to help instruct. And I was fortunate enough to be on the side of the line listening to the guy speak. And if you've never heard him instruct, if you've never heard him talk about our founding fathers and what they did, I to this day I still remember one line that he used, and it struck me. He said that nobody wakes up in the morning and says, "I think I'll commit treason today," because that's what they were doing effectively by shooting against the kid, by shooting the king's men. Yet they did. They got caught up in what happened. They had had enough, and they had to push back. And listening to him talk about that and talk about how the project was in its early stages, and this is almost a direct quote, he said that the people that we're not teaching shooters here today, we're teaching teachers, because once we've taught you how to shoot, we want you to sign up and to be instructors and to teach more people. And that's how we're going to grow this program. We're going to double it in size every year.
And that is it. That's exactly how we do it. We have a motto. Our motto is learn to shoot today, learn to teach tomorrow. And while that's a little bit of an exaggeration, it's not much of one, because you can come to an Appleseed event. You can come to the event Saturday. You can come Sunday. And then at the end of the day, Sunday, if you express a desire to become an instructor, or if we just see you and we think you're doing a great job, we'll just say, listen, we need you. Actually, we need almost everybody that comes to an event, but we'll say, listen, we need you. How about becoming an instructor? And they say yes. When they get the orange hat, and then they may be on the line next weekend at the event.
Well, they handed me an orange hat as an instructor in training last April, just about a year after I went to my first event. And about 3-4 weeks ago, Roger gave me my red hat, and in fact, I'm going to be shoot boss at a shoot up here in Athol, Massachusetts this weekend. I guess more like a shoot boss in training under one of the other instructors. And I'm going to do my darndest to make certain that the 22 people we've got showing up to lie in the snow on Saturday and learn to shoot and hear about the history, I'm going to do my darndest to infect every last one of them. Although I don't think I have to. You know, we weren't going to have a shoot here in New England until April. We were thinking, you know, it's cold, the weather's miserable. This is New England, after all.
But we also discussed the fact that, hey, it is New England, and you guys are used to that. So you should get out there and lay down in the snow.
The guys on NortheastShooters.com shamed us in doing it. They kept saying, we don't want to wait that long. We want something close by sooner.
Well, I told you at the beginning of the show, I said, Appleseed refuses to acknowledge weather whenever we have an event. We could have snow on the ground. We could have tornadoes. We can have hurricanes. We had a hurricane shoot here in Davila this last year. And we shot while the targets were blowing away, while tin from my barn was flying past us, and we still shot. We shoot in the snow. We shoot, you name it, and we shoot in it. And, and you guys are used to the snow and the cold up there, so it's nothing new to you guys.
As far as I know, there's about a foot of snow on the range, and we're going to be in it this weekend. There's still room if anybody wants to sign up for the Athol shoot. Anybody up here in the New England area or who can get up here to the New England area, you know, people want to learn to shoot. People want to hear the history. We're going to be there, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be an interesting weekend, and I'll be sure to take plenty of pictures and post them.
Okay, one more time, give the location and the date and let people know what time it starts at.
Okay, this is in Athol, that's A-T-H-O-L, Massachusetts, at Woodman Rod and Gun. And it is this weekend, February 7th and 8th. We start at 8:30. We'll start registration at 8 o'clock. And, you know, we'll be on the line at 8:30 and run till about 5. Might be a bit sooner. Depends on whether or not it clouds over, because we're pretty far north and it still gets dark early out here. So we're all over safety. We have a nice warm clubhouse to teach the history in, and nice hot lunches.
It's going to be great. I don't care what the weather's going to be like. Here's the reason why. You're going to be in the company of riflemen. Anytime you're in the company of riflemen, I don't care what the temperature is, what the weather is, you're going to have a good time anytime you're in the company of riflemen. Now, when you get to an Appleseed event, you want to make sure you get there early. And like Dwarven said, you're going to start off at 8. That's when it starts for the registration and stuff. Go ahead and get there a little bit early. Take a few minutes to walk around, say hi to everybody. Usually there's coffee brewing. There's folks, you know, milling about, and you can get your registration and stuff done. When you get there, make sure you get all your gear and bring it down to the line, minus your rifle. Keep your rifle in the vehicle so you get the safety briefing. But get all your gear, get it down to the line, get it all set up so you don't have to be running about at the last few minutes. Get everything set and ready so you can get started, a nice crisp start at 8:30 and get those first rounds off. Now, we just had a question come up from Boomstick on the chat, and he wanted us to mention the crossover from 25 to KD, because he says he was skeptical about it. Give me your impression of what you found whenever you shot at KD, and you said, okay, we're going to shoot at the 25-meter line. We shoot. Did you guys have a actual distance on Sunday at your first event?
No. We were at the Hartford Gun Club, and it was 25-yard range only.
Yeah, that one's a 25 only. Well, a lot of people ask me that question. They say, listen, this is 25 meters, but, you know, I'm more interested in shooting, you know, at longer distances with my rifle. I don't want to use my rifle like a pistol. But the fact is that, as I stated earlier, when you learn to shoot at 25 meters, if you shoot at 4 minutes of angle at 25 meters, you're going to shoot at 4 minutes of angle at 100, 200, 300, 400. Not only that, but because of ballistics and geometry, when you shoot at 25 meters, if you're shooting a 30 caliber battle rifle, then you're already shooting at your 200-meter distance. You're actually shooting it to 275 meters. You already have your same zero for that. So whenever you have your zero, when you set it up for the 25 meters, you're all ready to shoot out from 300. A lot of times we even do that with the folks. We'll to show them that it works exactly the same. We'll take the folks from the 25. Go over to the KD, and instead of starting at 100 meters, we'll start at 200 meters for the 30 caliber and 300 meters for the 223 caliber guys, and let them start their shoot there to see that it's exactly that they're exactly on there for their zero.
Yeah, the important thing to remember is that the targets that we're using are actually reduced in size, so that effectively you're seeing the exact same thing. As I see they've been saying in the chat, the only thing you need to worry about is windage and elevation, and we actually do discuss elevation even on the 25-yard range when we talk about inches, minutes, and clicks. So if you can sight your rifle at 25 yards, you can sight it at 400.
Well, a lot of people actually are surprised. They're surprised when they get over to the actual distance because, as you said, on the 25-meter, we have the target scaled down so that whenever you're at 25 meters and you see the target there, when you see the 100-meter target, it looks like it would look if you were at the 100-meter line looking at the target. But there's more. We've actually made it harder because instead of seeing the black target, we have the targets are all gray. And we've also sliced off the outside edge of the target, which means the target is smaller than what it would be, than what you would see. So the usual response I get from guys when they get over to the KD and they shoot 1 through 400 there is, wow, this is much easier than the 25 meters. And it is, because we've made it purposely hard at 25 meters so that when you get to the KD, then you know what you're doing, that you can hit those targets or at KD. Now, as you said there, you will have to understand, and we're going to give you the instruction on it, inches, minutes, and clicks, so that you'll understand what your come-ups are when you get to KD. You'll have to understand windage, but other than those two things, everything you learned at 25 meter has already gotten you ready for the actual distance. And when we go to actual distance, what we'll do is usually is we'll shoot 3 to 5 rounds as sighters at each range, and then you can use that data to adjust for your 10-round stages 1 through 4. And then you keep that data, you keep your notebook with you, you write all your data down, and then you keep it with the rifle. You know, I keep my all my come-ups, all my different notes and everything are stuck in the buttstock of my Garand or my M14, so that I know exactly what my come-ups are. Of course, by now, I've got them memorized, so I know what clicks to put on or take off just by memory. I can pick up any Garand and run the sights down to zero, come back up 13 clicks, and that's where I start from. You still there, Gordon?
Yeah.
Okay. There was something else I wanted to ask you. Now I can't think of what it is. Let's see. Oh, promotions. We want to make sure that everybody is doing everything they can for promotions. If you are anywhere in the Northeast and you feel like you can give a you can lend a hand with it, get in touch with Nickel or Dwarven, K-Dan, any of the guys in the Northeast on the Northeast board, and let them know what you can do to help. There's a lot of things we need. You can go to the Appleseed Forum and look under the help needed, ideas wanted, real riflemen get involved, local boots on the ground promotions, efforts, and checklists. And that will give you a lot of things that you can do, very, very small, easy things. Because right now there's almost 2,000 people, members on the forum. And I don't know what the breakdown is as far as members of RWVA. But listen, if we had each of those 1,900 folks that are members, if we had each of them give one flyer out a day or even a week, I can't tell you how far ahead we would be. One flyer, just print up one flyer, even if you hand it out randomly, that's still better than what's, than what's going on now. Now, once you get the flyers, you can take them anywhere. Now, do you have any, what is your favorites? Like, whenever you do out flyers or anything like that, tell me what's your favorite, Dwarven? or your best place to go?
I usually put them at several of the local gun shops. Massachusetts is kind of an unusual environment when it comes to America, because up here in Massachusetts there are, I think, something like 240,000 licensed gun owners out of, I don't know, population of 6 million, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're pretty thin on the ground up here, and most of the people that you wind up meeting are not necessarily gun people, a lot of folks like to fly under the radar. Me, I'm a little blatant about being a gun owner because I've kind of had it, and it's like, if you don't like my being a gun owner, fine, deal with it, because I'm not going to apologize for it. So I have posted them. I've posted them up at work. One of the folks that I know on Northeast Shooters likes to publicize the events by posting it on what is that website again? Well, I think he does it on Facebook, but there's another website that's mostly like local reviews, and they've got local chat. They've got all kinds of local chat things, you know, chat boards for local areas. And that's killing me because I can't think of the name of it. But
well, let me tell you what I some of my favorites. I like to one of the things that I'll do is since I'm trying to head for the people that are most likely going to come to an event, I will go into Walmart and I will go over to the magazine rack and I will take my stack of flyers and I will take all the stack of shotgun newses and I'll set them in the shopping cart. I'll open them up to Fred's column and I'll slip a flyer in for the event. Now, I'm not going to tell anybody to do this because I'm not sure of the legality of it. I'm just going to tell you that maybe I shouldn't even say that I did it. Maybe I should say that that's what I would do if I was thinking about doing it. But that's one of my favorites. Now, the other is I'll go to I don't know if you have them up north, but what we have here is called the Thrifty Nickel. And it's like a penny saver. And, you know, it's the local classified things. They'll have their own racks in the in all the stores and everything. And I'll put a stack of flyers. I'll just lay like five or six on top of there. And people will have to pick one up or move it to get to the Thrifty Nickel. And usually they'll take one with them. I mean, I see the people. I stand around and watch. And I'll see the people pick one up and read it and take it with them. A few days later, I'll come back in. I'll put three or four more down. And I go to the gun stores and put them up there. And, they're a lot of times they're very nonplussed about it. I don't know if they think that they always seem so wary of them. And then I'll just go everywhere else in the world with them. I'll keep a flyer with me everywhere I go so that if I'm at the parking lot of Walmart, I will be sure and grab somebody, go into their car, and let them know. So there's all kinds of places you can go. I'll read a quick list here. We've got the gun shops, sporting goods shops, gun shows, grocery stores, Walmarts. You got the VFWs, American Legions, Mason's Halls, the churches. Church is great, too. Church is really great. Barber shops, universities. Auto dealerships, assisted living communities.
Libraries have a local events bulletin board up.
Right, and I always push the community calendars. Always try and get them listed in all the community calendars you can get to. I run it through the GOA event announcements. I send it to all my friends and family. I always let them know, and occasionally my brother will come with his son, or my cousin will come with his son. anybody you can think of, you can always be stopped and asked. You know, anybody, every single person in the program is an Appleseed ambassador. Everybody is an ambassador for the program. Everybody, it's everybody's right and everybody's responsibility to try and get the program moving along. The one thing about the Appleseed program is that we don't feel at the Appleseed program that we have to ask anybody's permission to save the country. That is our right as we the people. We don't have to ask permission if we can save the country. We don't have to ask permission if we can do the right thing, because that's our job. That's our sacred duty, is to do the right thing, our sacred duty to save the country. I've said it before. I'll say it again over and over and over. The life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness clause in the Constitution is not there for you to get a free ride on. Nobody gets a free ride. Everybody has a sacred obligation to understand that that guarantee is a reciprocal agreement, that you don't get any rights at all unless you are willing to defend them with everything in you. You have no rights. You have no right to life, no right to liberty, no right to the pursuit of happiness unless you're willing to stand out there and defend them with everything in you. That's what you have to do. That's where the rights come from.
I can't argue with any of that.
Well,
if you don't fight for your rights, somebody will come along and try and take them away.
That's right. All right. I want to thank you for calling in, Dwarven. And one last time, let's go over it one more time. The shoot that's coming up. This is going to be your maiden shoot, boss shoot, and I'd like to have you get a big crew there to listen to your story, to see how you run the shoot, so that you can grab you some good helpers out of it to form your own crew up. So give us the spiel on the location and the times and everything again.
Sure. This is going to be in Athol, Massachusetts, A-T-H-O-L, at Woodman Rifle and Pistol, and it is this weekend, February 7th and 8th. Registration starts at 8 a.m., and we're going to start off on the line at 8:30 sharp. We'll be running both days till 5 o'clock or as late as we can run, you know, depending on the light. You know, we've still got room on the line. Love to see some more people come down. Just make sure you're dressed warmly because you're going to be lying on a foot of snow.
Oh, man, I wish I could be there. Make sure you don't stick your magazines in the snow. Make sure that you don't grab a bunch of snow and ice and cram it into your receiver when you're putting the magazines in. You got to keep everything nice and clear of ice when you're shooting. Listen, Dwarven, thank you very much for calling in. Best of skill. I'm not going to say luck because I believe it's skill on the part of our instructors and the part of the program. Best of skill with your upcoming shoot as shoot boss, and I look forward to reading the after-action report on it on the forum.
Okay. pardon me. I'm looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you again for calling in.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
And if you would like to read the after-action report on any of the shoots to find out how they went, just go to appleseedinfo.org or rwva.org and click on forum and then register for the forum. It only takes a few minutes. We're not going to dig into your personal life. We're just going to ask a few questions, and that's just to keep the spammers and the smut salesmen out of the forum, and register for the forum. Once you get registered, then you can read the after-action reports on all the events. You can see what the people have to say about going to an event, how it worked for them, what they thought about the event, which is a really good way to find out about the event, reading the after-action reports from the folks. So once again, you go to appleseedinfo.org, click on forums, or up on the links column to see links. You pull that down. It'll say forum. You go to the forum, and then it'll say log in or register. Click on register and fill out the little application there. It's, like I said, it takes just a couple of minutes, and you'll be good to go. You can see a lot more information than you would get as just a non-registered guest. All right. I'm going to give you the schedule once again real quick because I think it's important that you know that there are upcoming shoots and where they're going to be, and so that you can get registered for them now. We just finished the Hernando County, Florida shoot. That was January 31st and February 1st. Shoot went great. As Dwarven said, the next shoot coming up is Athol, Massachusetts, February 7th and 8th. Peru, California, February 21st and 22nd. Midland, Texas, 21st and 22nd. That's a new location we're opening up. Mallorca, Florida, February 21st and 22nd. El Paso Community College, February 21st and 22nd. And that's also a new location, and it's also an indoor location. So it's a great location for winter or summer because it's climate controlled. But here's a drawback. There's only 20 positions, 20 slots available. So if you're planning on going, I suggest you get your registration in now to guarantee you a shooting position there. Indoor, nice, clean, climate control, concrete, clean concrete floors, noise baffles between each shooting position. Great guy running the range, Johnny Eoff, and a great guy that's going to be there helping you, Michael Schwartz, who runs the show out in El Paso. He's a great asset to the program out there, and just one heck of a nice guy, too. All right, Yanceyville, North Carolina, February 28th, March 1st. Ramsar, North Carolina, February 28th, March 1st. Santa Barbara, California, February 28th and March 1st. Davila, Texas, February 28th and March 1st. And once again, Ramsar, North Carolina and Davila, Texas will both be having rifleman boot camps leading into that Appleseed. So what's going to happen is we'll have a group of guys who've come to the boot camps. They'll have gone through the course the week before, and then they will be actually instructing at the Appleseed event that weekend. That's how we work things here. We throw you right into the mix. Very few of us, everyone is highly skilled in the program, but we're all volunteers. This is a grassroots, all-volunteer program. And as I said, I think very few of us actually have any doctorates in shooting. But what we all do have is a passion for this, is a passion for telling the story. And even our yellow hats, the instructors in training, have enough technique and skill under their belts to teach you an Appleseed event. So when these guys come out of the rifleman boot camps, they are filled up with knowledge, and they're just dying to teach you. I'm telling you, usually you have to put a leash on the instructors coming out of the boot camps because they are so filled up with instruction techniques and skill that is running out of their ears. And if they don't get somebody to teach pretty quick, they're going to explode. And everybody, once they've come to the course, is very passionate about it and ready to teach. So those are going to be two great locations, too. The Ramsar, North Carolina, February 28th and March 1st, and Davila, Texas, February 28th and March 1st. Both of them will have new groups of IITs coming out, and who are rip and raring to go. All right. Let's see. I lost a connection with the chat here. So if I don't keep typing, it gets it disconnects sometimes. So I think I had a couple more questions from the chat. As I said, be sure and register when you come on to listen at on the Blog Talk program. It just takes a couple of seconds to register. And when you do, that lets you use the chat program and lets you rate the show. All right. I have a post from our blog that I wanted to read you. I think I've got 4 minutes or so left. And remember, the Appleseed program has a blog at appleseedinfo.org/blog. There's a blog site there for the Appleseed program, and we talk about stuff that we probably normally wouldn't talk about that much on the site. The Appleseed site is a working site, which means we don't do a whole lot of discussion about what kind of cars we drive or what picnics we're going to have or what baseball games we want to go to or anything like that. All we talk about on the Appleseed site, since it's a working site, is how to push the program further, how to get the information out to people, how to learn to become the best instructors we can be, how to get more events up on the schedule, how to get more locations opened up to us, how to get the message out to more people. And that's all we have time for, because that's the most important thing that we can do, is waking up the people in America and understand, making sure that they understand that they are the people that's talked about, and that that is where the power in the country lies, is in their hands. All right, I'm going to try and read you very quickly a post I wrote last year, just because I wanted to read it, because this reminds me of people. This is about a local event here called Big Mean Dogs. All right. Recently, I was turning into a field I was going to bale hay in, and the dog started chasing the baler and snapping at the tires. This was a big spotted dog, obviously some kind of a pit bull, big dog mix, about 120-plus pounds, a big dog. Sleek hide, smooth rippling muscles, and a mouth full of teeth like a barracuda. It must have come from down the street, as I'd seen it before in the street, but I was not sure who owned it. It followed me in the field like it owned the whole road and all the property, all the field, and it stood there barking, snarling at the baler, glaring in the window at me. Now, I've never really been afraid of dogs, but I do respect their ability to do harm if they wanted to. And of course, I've been bitten, like most people, by dogs before. And I've even been to an Army dog handling seminar while I was with the Rangers once at Bragg, where they use an Army dog tracking team to teach us the finer points of defending ourselves from dog attack, while they chased us to the ends of the earth for 8 days with the dogs. So when I climbed out to let the wheels down on the baler, the dog came for me. Now, I thought about this while I was getting ready to set up the baler, and you know, I faced down dogs before, so it was not something to be afraid of, and I did what I usually do. I looked the dog square in the eyes, and I just said, "Back off," in a nice, low voice, looking right in the dog's eyes. So he wasn't having any of this. He was a big, mean, bully dog, but he wasn't stupid. So I got back in the baler, started baling. The place belonged to a woman who'd moved out in the country from the city, and she brought her dogs out with her. She had a whole pile of dogs out there with her. Well, the big mean dog kept grabbing at the tires, barking, making a scene, and the dogs who lived on the property finally noticed and ran out to see what was going on. There were seven of them, and they were, you know, they were old, semi-big dogs, but not as big as the big mean dog. So they were all kind of apprehensive, and they were all fearful of the big mean dog. Now, they'd come out in the field, and he would make a run at them, and they would retreat back closer to their house, and then he would run at them again, and they would take off, and he followed them. He finally ran them off from their own yard, and then he strutted around, and he peed wherever he wanted to. He ate their food, and they all kind of huddled out in the field, kind of looked at each other, waiting for one or the other of them to tell one of the rest of them what to do. They were city dogs, you see, and where they come from, dogs are supposed to be on a leash. It's the law. So it's no wonder they didn't know what to do. Always before, someone would come, get the mean dog, get it back on a leash and locked in its own yard. But no one was around here to do it, so what could they do? Gee, they were on their own. And since no one had a plan, the big mean dog was peeing in all their favorite places and making them look like poodles. Now, I've had a lot of dogs. and of them all, Scout, my German Shepherd, and her demented buddy, Boo Radley, who was a small, mentally unhinged blue heeler, had the best plans of them all. They grew up together, and they developed a technique that worked every time it was ever called on, except one time. And, well, it looks like I'm running out of time here, so I'm going to have to leave you guys hanging. I'll finish this story up this coming Tuesday. I want to thank everybody for listening tonight. If you have any questions or comments, be sure and send them to me. You can send them at the on the message site here, or you can go to the Appleseed info forum. You can PM Scout. So thanks again for everyone listening, and I hope that you will tune in again this coming Tuesday, and you'll hear the rest of the story of Big Mean Dogs, and we will give you more information on upcoming events at Appleseed. Thanks again for everyone listening, and good evening.